Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, it was World AIDS Day yesterday, so today we wanted to get into that in a very alarming report that came out with our on-air health expert, nurse practitioner, James Simmons.
Hello, hello.
Happy welcome, Monday. Welcome.
Thank you. Happy day after World AIDS Day.
And yes. Happy day after the holidays.
Yes, yeah, I know. Yeah. Welcome back from everybody. Welcome back from China.
Yeah,
which
appreciate
honestly,
it.
I do feel like World AIDS Day is kind of like a holiday in some sorts because you are celebrating so many people that are living with this and feel oftentimes that they're dealing with the stigma on a day to day. And so this is their day for us to kind of celebrate them and celebrate the causes that we've come when it comes to how far in research we've come and
Absolutely.
Also how far we're still tearing down the stigma.
Mm-hmm. And it did feel that way. Speaking of stigma, that was really one of the big messages from yesterday. Globally, it was like reducing the stigma. And I know we're going to talk about that in a second. But I really love how you put that, Ryan. I think it's, you know, in the past, and I'm a little bit older than everybody in the room.
Lies.
So it was
Have you seen my Wikipedia?
Yeah,
is someone lying on your Wikipedia?
Cher's actually a 67-year-old. She looks very good for her age.
You look
white,
you
don't
look
crack.
Great. You look great for 71, Cher. You look awesome.
Okay, anyway.
That's right. But it was celebratory, right? I mean, here, we're actually talking about HIV and AIDS, and we're going to get a little bit serious, but we're actually laughing. Like, I just remember even, 20, 25 years ago, and it was never. You would not even dare to have, like, fun conversation around it or have anything HIV or AIDS related feel celebratory. So I actually really love, Ryan, speaking of someone who is, I believe you're right at that Gen Z millennial border.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for acknowledging that.
Uh-huh. You're like, I mean, Gen Z and teenage border. That's what
Yes. Even younger.
That you're thinking celebratory, right?
But I was in China. They have AIDS signs everywhere. We're like,
really?
Yeah, if you can't supposedly, you can't be there as a foreigner or live there.
If you have
STDs or AIDS,
wow,
you can't get a visa to live there. They'll do they'll get your documents from your doctor.
Oh,
supposedly,
wow.
This is according to someone who lives there, and everywhere they have used condoms, not just because of pregnancy and all that and STDs, but because of AIDS specifically.
Very specifically.
And see, that's,
so there's still a huge stigma in other parts.
Yeah,
of the
because
world.
I think there's a lack of education. There's a lack, which why there is still such a stigma. And we're going to be touching on this where it was like an alarming news. Alarming new study, right, Cher?
Yeah, so 28% of HIV negative millennials avoid hugging people with HIV. So let's talk about
that.
That's
wild.
Isn't that something? That just completely... I had to read it a couple of times, and I really had to dig into this and think about, okay, what is going on? That's almost a third. So there were 1,596. So almost 1,600 Gen Z and millennials were surveyed, and there were HIV positive and HIV negative individuals in here. And some really shocking information came out of this study. It was actually done by the Prevention Access Campaign. And I want to give them props because we're going to talk about U equals U.
Yeah.
And they were the ones who started that. They came up with U equals U. They really did the big push in the last couple of years. And the study was also done in combination with Merck, who is a drug company who does make HIV drugs. So I think it's always important to just know that.
Yeah, the people behind it are legit.
They're legit, yes. And I mean, say what you will about drug companies. Like they're
pharmaceutical.
Yeah. It's the good and the bad. So knowing all of that, so almost a third of millennials literally don't want to hug someone with HIV. And it baffles me that...
it didn't shock me. I'm sorry to interrupt, but it did not shock me because I, especially from being from the South, I know so many people now and even close friends of mine that still have a stigma about it where they're like, oh, no, I don't want to mess with anyone that has, like, the virus. And it's so sad because it's like there are tools, where, you versus you or U equals you and also PrEP and things like that where it's still... it's not believable. People don't believe that those things actually are true and they actually work. Right. And so it's, I don't know how we move out of that kind of old school thinking, or is it even possible?
Sure. I 100% believe it is possible, because I think that 28% number was much, much higher even 20 years ago, even just 10 years ago. And so I think that really it's all about different understanding the education and where we are with vaccines and where we are with medications, and just educating younger individuals in a different way than we have others.
And I want to get into after the break if it's not just maybe the community that has a stigma. Obviously, the community knows more, but also the people outside of the community that need to be educated.
That's where the stigma starts, and it triggers the internalized homophobia that's within our community, because they're experiencing from their hetero parents or their hetero family members or their hetero friends, where it's kind of going internalizing into like yourselves, where that's used as a tool a lot of times. Like for me, being raised, my mom told me being gay equaled getting like that. And we gotta dive into that coming up next.
Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
With World AIDS Day being yesterday, we are back with our on-air health expert, nurse practitioner, James Simmons. We're breaking it all down, debunking some theories, what's true, what's not
some
true.
Yes.
Okay, so I guess before the break, we were talking about this report that HIV-negative millennials, they avoid hugging, talking, or being friends with someone who is HIV-positive, and the implications of that. And also, specifically, one in three Black and Latinx millennials reported avoiding even shaking hands or sharing drinks or utensils with someone with HIV, though in reality, the disease can't be spread through casual contact.
Correct.
So I guess, what are you seeing that people, and I mean, I know just through my own questions, like people still think these things. Like what are people still believing out there? What's out there?
Honestly, what this survey says is, you know, what Ryan said right before the break, like he wasn't surprised. And I guess I'm surprised because I lived through the kind of the tail end of the crisis of this. And like I said, I'm older, but it also doesn't surprise me because also being a Black man who grew up in a predominantly Black neighborhood, I will tell you that
Black.
Even when I go,
I'm just joking.
Didn't we do that last time too?
Yeah.
Even growing up in that neighborhood, even going back now, sometimes you hear and people are like, oh, like Ryan said, I don't want to mess with that person who's HIV positive. And I think a lot of it is because twofold. So the education has not been tailored to the communities who need it. So a lot of times, and we talk about this about PrEP, about a lot of different things, but there's a reason that HIV is actually growing in communities of color, gay men of color under 35.
Wow.
It's because the prevention campaigns have not been targeted to those individuals.
Well,
it
is a systemic thing, right? Mm-hmm. It's one of those things where they feel like, oh, these communities of color and they're not necessarily going to listen. They're going to do like, it's like where drugs and education is probably either lacking or it's happening a lot of.
And even like to use Los Angeles for an example, could be because we're here. So a lot of these campaigns and billboards and busboards and bar campaigns and the people out on the streets, it was all done in West Hollywood.
True, right. Well, it's only for like the kids out there.
People who live in West Hollywood, right. Well, the vast majority of people of color who are under 35 who are having sex with each other, so same gender men having sex with each other, often don't identify as gay. And if they do, they're not going out and partying in West Hollywood. So you're not reaching these individuals with traditional campaigns.
Right.
So this trickles through now a generation and a half or so. That education has also not reached these individuals.
And social media censors a lot of these companies. Yeah. Like if you want to post something about AIDS or HIV, they'll say it's inappropriate.
I just saw that last week. That was crazy.
Let's break down, because I know you mentioned before the break, you mentioned U equals U.
Yay!
Let's break this down. What does that mean?
Okay, so U equals U stands for undetectable equals untransmittable. Mm-hmm. So this is one of, I think, the biggest barrier to all of this really is understanding this information. So undetectable means if you are HIV positive, if you take your HIV medications every day, we can suppress your viral load, meaning we can get the amount of the HIV virus inside of you down below a certain number. You cannot give HIV to anyone else through any means, including sex.
But you still have the virus.
You still technically have the virus, but it's almost like, this might be a little controversial, but it's almost like we all have the virus that causes the cold. It's in us.
Okay.
Most of us have HSV-1, which is oral herpes.
Okay.
We have it. It just sits suppressed in our system and it never manifests, right?
It's not triggered,
right?
Yeah.
Seriously, right?
Yeah.
So If you have HIV and you take your medications as prescribed, that's the really big important part. You take your medications, we suppress that virus, we squash it down so that there is so little virus in your system that you cannot transmit it to someone who is HIV negative.
Wow.
That's incredible. So then if that's prong one, and if you take the other side of this, and if you're HIV negative and if you're on PrEP, which is 95 to 99% effective at preventing HIV through sexual contact. So you have someone who's HIV negative who is taking this medication that's 99% effective, and you have someone who's HIV positive and they're taking their meds and they've squashed their viral load so that they can't transmit it. You've effectively, you're killing HIV because it's not going to be transmitted to people.
But then the issue is if someone who has it doesn't know or is in denial or is not taking anything, maybe, or they,
or
they can't afford
their medications,
they,
or they can't
afford,
can afford it. Exactly.
And that's where it can be spread. But then how can it be spread? Because there's also some myths around that, because it's through casual contact. What does that even mean?
So, you know, I think about even in the 80s, people were like, don't drink a glass after somebody who might have AIDS, right? Because you're going to get AIDS. You're not going to get it through saliva, right? In sexual contact, we've I don't know how much I can say on air, live on the air.
But I mean, don't make it like, you know.
Generally
PG
through
13.
Sexual fluids,
yes,
right?
Yes,
so
yes,
that's
yes.
generally how it's spread. There's also mother to fetus, right? But that's kind of a different conversation. But this saliva, you can make out with someone who has HIV who might not even have a suppressed viral load. You can make out with them all day long and you're not going to get HIV.
So why, I have a question, if these facts are out here, why do you feel like, you know, people are still denying this? Why are they are still, the stigma is still like really, you know, kind of wreaking havoc on a lot of people that are living with this lives, because it affects their personal lives, it affects their love lives, it's affecting our community.
It is affecting our community. I think it's twofold. I think a little bit of what we talked about earlier is that the message has not gotten to the communities who need it in the way that they need to hear it.
Yeah.
We need to meet people where they are. So we need to come up with really unique, creative, sort of educational ways. There's actually a guy named Dr. Dimitri who's in New York City who's right now doing something that's called status neutral care, which means that everyone who comes into the New York County Public Health Department, you come in, you get an HIV test, cool. We're also going to talk about that thing that's on your foot that you were bothering, and you know you have a cold and your cholesterol is high, and we do all this stuff, right? Oh, your HIV test is back, cool. You're negative, here's PrEP. Go ahead and take it, boo. And oh, by the way, the city's going to pay for it. Oh, you're HIV positive? Cool. Here's your HIV medications. We're going to give you HIV counselor. And oh, by the way, the city's going to pay for it. And off you go.
Yeah.
Everybody's getting the same care. And what's happening is it's taking away the stigma. Mm. Black, purple, brown, Latinx, trans, doesn't matter. Everyone's getting the same care. And New York City is on track to effectively have no new HIV cases in the next 5 years.
That's amazing case study.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. And so, but some of that is that all communities are getting all the same care and it's destigmatized.
So do you think that other cities are going to do the same thing?
I certainly hope so. You know, the gentleman, Dr. Dimitri, who kind of kicked this off in New York City is wildly popular, at least in the HIV communities. He speaks a lot at different conferences. He's come to LA a bunch of times. There's all these other cities who want to start adopting this care. You have to have the resources for it, though.
Yeah, who's providing the resources? The city needs
exactly.
to. So he pitches for a budget.
Exactly. And part of one of the big things was that de Blasio was really behind this, right? So Bill de Blasio, the mayor of New York City, was really behind. Yeah, right.
Or is it gender neutral for,
Former presidential candidate, right. For what it's worth, he was like, here's a whole bunch of money. I'll approve this in the budget. We're going to pay for this. So your city and your area has to have the resources to do this. But I think what's most important is that it's a different approach. It's not fear-mongering about HIV. It's not like if you don't use a condom, you're going to get HIV and die. It's meeting people where they are in language that they're used to hearing.
Well, James Simmons, it's always a pleasure.
It's always so good.
You always teach us so much.
I try.
Follow him on Instagram at AskTheNP, and he will be back, of course, next week with us to drop some knowledge.
I love it.